Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into Survivor 47, episode number 12. People are just loving the aftermath of last night's episode. This is awesome. Blake is actually joyous for once. I feel like Blake normally comes in being like, what can I complain about, Phil? And he was texting me positive things last night. Like, it was wild. We might get a white Christmas here in Florida, how happy Blake was with the result of last night's episode. But Blake, seriously, what did that feel like for you to see that type of move pulled off in season 47?
I think what I truly want to say about this is there's casuals, there are people that are diehards, and then there's people that like have podcasts and think about every single permutation of everything. And this was an episode for everyone, but definitely it paid off the people who have talked about this shit for the last 20 years of your life. Because this is a move that you have not seen before. It is a, we are going to be sleepover buddies. You've had sleepovers when you were a kid. Imagine your sleepover, instead of staying up to play Power Rangers and eat pizza way longer than you're supposed to, you just make one of the best Survivor moves of all time. That is like a dream. And the fact that like it pays off for, oh my God, I like actually think Genevieve is a very strong player. Like, I was on the fence. I love Genevieve now. Mm-hmm. Go Genevieve. Sam, get some redemption of like, oh, you're just kind of there, bro. Like, you really haven't done anything much, and you're just waiting to die. Huge payoff for him. Mm-hmm. And then, most of all, Andy has been, okay, I don't really like Andy. I'm not a big fan of his personality. I don't like his shtick. Seems like Andy's going to float all the way to the end. What is he actually going to do? He keeps talking about game, big game. Last week, I even said, who cares about this math? This math is so stupid. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and this is now my time. And you're going to sit down and listen to what I have to say. And I think Operation Italy is such a dumb title, but it's going to just bring back so much fun thought in our mind when we mention this for the next 20 years. Because we don't have an Operation something to say Cerise 3-2-1 vote. Mm-hmm. But this is up there where it's like, I truly believe this is a top 5 vote. It's got the stakes are insane. It's final 7. It's not, oh, it's top 17 and like we got rid of Keyshawn and someone mm-hmm. didn't have their vote. Everyone had their vote. They were in the minority. The people that do have advantages are all on the other side. Mm-hmm. All it took, like, I think what I'm truly trying to say here is there's the Genius, which is a South Korean game show. It takes 25 minutes to explain the games because they're so complicated. That doesn't really fly for an American audience, but this felt like Survivor going, all right, everybody, sit down, watch this for the next hour. It's going to be one of the coolest payoffs. It's going to be very complicated. Yeah. Are you ready to watch and listen? And it was like, okay, I hope. But like, you just knew what was going to work because it's like they're putting so much effort into this. And yes, Caroline goes home and she seemed like such a sweet girl. She probably did have a chance to get a couple votes in the end, but it is kind of like, okay, now this game is blown wide open. Mm-hmm. As long as the person we are trying to get out doesn't have a secret idol that they haven't told anybody in a while. And like, also a huge, like, I think somebody explained it so well on Twitter, so I'm going to steal some of it, but it's like, we're going to get out Rachel. And everyone's like, let's go. And then Rachel wins immunity. Like the wrinkles, yeah. The heist mm-hmm. of this, that is literally saying exactly what it was, but it's like, do you like Ocean Survivor?
Yeah.
Like Ocean Survivor 7 is what we saw last night. And the people that were shocked were not the likable people last night. The people that did have crazy grins on their faces are the underdogs, the real underdogs. So I just had a blast.
Did you see my private chat? Do that. Anyway, no, yeah. I do totally agree with you about what you're saying here. And I mean, somebody had tweeted out the Italian job was right there. and you go with Operation Italy instead. Like, come on. And then I know, it's funny to see what ended up happening, like with the name and everything like that. That's a good point though, because we can always go back to Operation Italy, and in a show that has now hit an era where names are not associated with anything. We don't even have names for the seasons to help differentiate them. We have Operation Italy. People will always remember Operation Italy as the time that Andy, Genevieve, and Sam pulled a 3-2-2 vote. Really awesome. And look, I put the title as best move ever because people really were like, is this the best move of the new era? Well, that's not as catchy to just throw into a title here. But when I start to break it down, I pulled out some plurality votes and I went on Idled Out's YouTube. Great channel. Love Idled Out. And Idled Out had a top 5 plurality votes. So I'm going to dive into that a little bit. But what I really want to highlight here as why I truly believe that this could be in contention for the best of all time, like better than any other move in Survivor history, better than Cerise in Panama, even though Cerise invented it. Here's why I think that this could actually be the best one ever. Because we are in an era where people use advantages as crutches. Every single move feels like it has to be made with an advantage played, right? We very rarely see somebody making a move just using their brains and pure survivor skill. Genevieve had a fake idol. The fake idol was created by her and Sam. Andy plants the seed. Genevieve plants the seed to Teeny, and it creates a split vote. No advantages being used in Survivor 47 to vote somebody out in a plurality when the alliance of four was super strong is so incredible and so hard to pull off. Because that doesn't happen anymore. What happens nowadays truly is, oh, I have an idol or I have an extra vote so I can pull this, right? You go to Marianne's vote, one of the best moves of the new era, without a doubt. But she had an extra vote at that tribal council. So she was able to send Omer packing. If she doesn't have the extra vote, Omer doesn't go home right there. And so I'm not saying that her move can't be as good, but what I'm saying is we really do have to give so much credit to this move in particular, because the three players who pulled this off had no advantages. All they used was old school Survivor. And I know old school, it's like, well, what about, there was no idols for the first 10 seasons. Yeah, but there have been for 36 seasons now. So when I say old school Survivor, this is when people started faking, when Rupert's walking around with a rock in his pocket in Heroes versus Villains, when Bob is making fake idols like crazy in Gabon, when David Wright tricks Jay into thinking that he has an idol in Millennials versus Gen X. That's great gameplay. I love that stuff. And that's what we saw in this episode. We saw no real advantages played and a plurality vote executed to perfection. And look, I don't know if Sam or Genevieve or Andy are going to win. I still, after this episode, lean Rachel. I can take the hate, but I still lean Rachel. But the thing is,
what an immunity win from Rachel.
Like, oh yeah, and we'll talk about that. But what a, these three people have all solidified their case for why they should play on season 50 of Survivor. And if they don't make season 50, they've all solidified their case why they should be one of the first people called for the next returning season after 50, because they came to play. And this is the type of gameplay that I love. I complain about advantages all the time. Advantage get in, that bullshit. I complain about lost votes, which I will talk about soon, because I do think that there's an important lesson to be learned here regarding lost votes and this episode. But at the end of the day, you can make something happen in Survivor. You are never drawing dead. And I think that we are going to see this become almost like the poster of, I want to make a big move, but I don't have power. You don't really have power. You don't really have power. Let's make it happen.
I think the other thing I want to, hey, I complain a lot, so it's time to clap. When it's time to clap, like, narratively, everyone that is making a television show, congratulations. This is probably going to be one of your best rated episodes of all time, if you care about ratings like that. I think it is something where all the narrative strategies that go into making a television show, in and out, there's been so many throwaway things over the season. When is this going to pay off? It all happened at Final 7 mm-hmm. of, hey, I have this idol. I'm not going to use it on Andy. I'd rather save it because I may need it at the merge. And then we never hear anything about the merge. Like, he could have used it at the merge to maybe take off the heat of him and Sierra. Doesn't work. He didn't know it was going to happen. When is that idol going to come back into play? Mm-hmm. Genevieve and Andy bicker, say we should work together. Bicker, I don't really respect your game. Apologize, Andy. I'm going to work with you no matter what. I don't respect you at all. Dude, I feel bad about that. I don't know if we can come together. All of those storylines that it is, usually those go nowhere because it's just it's a 4-3 vote. It's a 5-2 vote. There's nothing going on wacky here unless an idol flips over everything. But all of those storylines that I thought were like, okay, who really cares about this? Like, I like hearing in that moment, but you are kind of in your mind of like, these guys are going day to day. Like the merge, legitimately like 8 days ago. Mm-hmm. So like, in 8 days, can you break up with your boyfriend, get back with your boyfriend, like some of that isn't realistic, but maybe in Survivor it is. But it is very cool that all of that break up with your boyfriend, alliance member, and then get back with them. Let's get the band back together one last time, because Andy is realizing nobody's going to vote for me to win in the end unless I do something right now. And it is somebody that usually when we have people like that, they just are very okay with getting $100,000 and getting second place. And Andy's like, no, I came here for $1 million. Let's do this.
We've seen that happen far too often, I feel like, in Survivor. And that's not just the new era thing. That's going all the way back to the early season. Some people are just super, you know, okay with, well, I can't do anything, but at least I'll finish second and I'll get my $100,000 and I'll get out of here. And so I do think that, you know, the editors deserve a lot of credit because there were some throwaway scenes that it felt like were throwaway scenes where really they were setting the stage. I feel like the editors have done a really good job of editing this like a real scripted TV show this year. They're not worried about it just being a reality TV show. They're not worried about just taking, what's going on with advantages, what's going on with this. Like, they have 90 minutes, they have more time to play with, and they are playing. They are going for it a little bit here. And we see early on Andy talking to Genevieve and saying, you know, Genevieve kind of pulls him under her wing and says, you know, if you want somebody to work with, you know, we could be here. And this was after after he was blindsided at the first tribal where he got a couple votes and he was like, was I really the backup? Genevieve and Saul are the ones who protect Andy. And they really highlighted how Genevieve was the one who was protecting Andy. And so it comes to fruition here. We see Sam early on talking about, I need to keep Andy in the game because he'll be useful to me later. Well, here is that moment. They did a really good job of editing this. And I want to bring up John's comment here. The difference between this and the Suri 3-2-1 is that this feels like a shift in power rather than a jockey for power. Spooky with Rachel having a block of vote at final six, but it could be a defining moment. I think it's a defining moment no matter what, because now Rachel is just, she's on her heels. She's got two advantages. She can get through this, but I do think that's a really good point. What other moves in Survivor history truly changed the entire power dynamic of a tribe? This is one of the only ones, because in that one, Courtney goes home. Yeah, we wanted Courtney to go home. That's fine. No big deal. But it didn't change the power dynamic in the tribe. So Ree was still where she was. Danielle was still where she was. And so for me, like, this really changed. And St. Cliffo brought up, you know, when Ceree's best move, getting Eric to give up the necklace. Yeah, that's a great move. And that changes the power dynamic because Eric could have won every immunity and would have won the game. But yeah, this is such a difference maker. Marianne did make that happen, right? Back in season 42. That was a power shift. Because Omer was probably going to win that game. So, I don't know. I just feel like this was incredibly impressive. I really, really enjoyed it. And there was something else here where I was trying to find it. I don't remember what it was. Oh, and then, so here's a question. This is something Will brought up earlier, and he didn't talk about it last night, but we might as well talk about it here. He said, in last week's episode, did Genevieve tell Rachel that Andy is getting carried and made no moves, knowing that Rachel would tell Andy? Thus incentivizing him to flip on his underdog alliance. Do you think Genevieve?
I mean, I don't know if Genevieve's literally Professor X from X-Men, but like that'd be crazy if that was like Rachel is just as strong as Genevieve. That's what we're trying to be told by our thing. I truly believe that. I'm surprised they're both in at six. obviously it's taking Herculean efforts from both of them to stick around. And it is like, you can see the showdown next week of when they're side by side. And like, I think something in my head is like, why is Survivor doing a two-part finale for the first time in its entire thing for 47? And like, why didn't they do that for 40? Why did they not do that for some of these all-star seasons? Like, is there some crazy twist that's going to happen at 6 or 5 where it's going to be like, you thought all the juice was squeezed out by Operation Italy. You thought last week was good. Like, here's a whole nother one. Like, I am wondering, how do we get to the end? I think a lot of this stuff too is like, it's just so satisfying when you have the people that get flipped on kind of being the like, it's just such a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It feels like an easy day.
Yeah.
Oh, once we get this person out, I can see my clear path to the end. We have Sue say, like, I'll use my idol on you. I think it is another kudos to Rachel of like, Rachel's the only one kind of sniffing it out. And she's kind of like, well, I have immunity, so I don't really want to act on this. I'm kind of putting a little bit of what I think happened instead of what was actually shown. But like, Rachel is, who really cares? I'm going to be here tomorrow either way. I think if she was vulnerable, she's going to use her idol or her blocker. And then Operation Italy doesn't work out. Like, I think that was a thing that everybody's trying to say of like, Genevieve had to lose, Sam had to lose. But I do think if Rachel had won this huge power play of Operation Italy, there's an idol out of nowhere, or there's a block vote of like, it doesn't work. So I think literally everything worked out perfectly.
Well, and even speaking more to the timing of this vote, I do think that, so this is my prediction for how the rest of this is going to go. And I have Owen coming on Sunday, so I don't want to give too many spoilers here, but this is how my prediction is how it's going to go.
Owen from Alla Gabler season?
From Alla Gabler season. So here's how I think this is going to shake out. I do think that the next two people to go home are going to be people who voted for Caroline last night. I really believe that. Okay. And I'll get into why. But my thing is, I first want to state this move is brilliant, whether they are the next three people to go or whether they are the final three. And here's why. They don't know that Rachel has an idol. They know she has a block of vote, but they don't know that she has an idol. You just made this move at the most perfect time you could have made this move. And you are now sitting there going, okay, we could be at final six, three of us. And James Jones talks about it a lot. And that's who my guest was from last week. He said, you can talk about voting together all you want, but until you actually vote together, it doesn't mean anything. Well, now in last week's episode, Sam, Genevieve, and Andy, they're feeling really good about what they just pulled off, and they know they were a part of something. Those three have loyalty to each other. Rachel, Sue, Teenie, one of them could easily say, this didn't work out. I want to go to the other side. So I do feel like this was as well timed as it could have been. But now with Rachel's idols still in the game, that's where it could end up biting them, and they could lose their numbers next week anyway and be, you know, between a rock and a hard place. And there was really nothing they could do about it. But to go from, we have no shot, Sam and Genevieve coming out of last week's episode were down 5-2. And they just voted out a power player in the game, a person with a legitimate chance to win without having any advantages. So the timing was perfect. Now, that being said, I do think that Rachel will use her block of vote. And if Teenie decides to flip over to the other side, because I don't think Sue will flip. I think Sue will stay loyal to Rachel, especially she's going to be pissed off that Caroline's gone. I think that she'll use her block of vote. And if Teenie votes with Sue and Rachel, then that means that they will pick who they want from the other three to go home. And I think that if she thinks Teenie's going to go to the other side, she will play her idol and she will still pick who is going home. So that's
so busted. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I feel this is going to go, but they can't control that. They don't know that. And so I feel like some people might second guess this one next week. I second guess Genevieve's, you know, to kingdom come about Saul. I said it was too early. It didn't work. I didn't like that at all. Well, it was, I think I was right. Right. I think I was right. It looked like her game was ended, but then she pulls this move and it's like, look, you had to make your move at some point. If you go home next week, you went down swinging. You didn't go down just falling over and rolling over. And so I think the timing was perfect, even if they are the next three people voted out of this game.
What's crazy to me is what I'm about to say. The most interesting person to me right now is Andy. Mm-hmm. This is a thought experiment, because you may do this with Owen, but I'd rather you do it with me because you're my best friend, bro.
That's so sad.
Whenever you are leaving, you said to Rachel, I'll explain later. Mm-hmm. Whenever Andy hits the beach, we're going to see it in the first 10 seconds of next episode. How does Andy play this to get to the end successfully? Do you think he has it in him? What do you think Andy needs to do to get to the end? Is he damage controlling? Is he double downing? Like, I have no idea. Like, Andy could literally start crying and I'd be like, oh my God. Like, I have no idea what Andy's going to do.
Well, I think what this comes down to is Andy might not be totally sold on wanting to play with Sam and Genevieve. This definitely will help that, but he might not be sold on it. And he might say, Rachel, I still want to play with you. I want to get to the end of the game with you, Rachel. But the thing is, by going,
how would you believe that?
Exactly. That's the biggest problem. But here is what I will say. I think that Rachel, with her idol and with her block of vote, if Teenie and Sue stay strong, Rachel plays her block of vote. She plays it on Andy, Sam, or Genevieve, and she sends home Genevieve or Sam, not Andy. Because Andy is still a wild card. Andy, even though he just blindsided you and backstabbed you, I still don't think he's the biggest threat out of those three. I think Genevieve is the biggest threat out of those three. So I think you'd want to go after Genevieve, keep Andy, because then it's just Andy and Sam. And Andy and Sam aren't pulling Teenie or Sue. I don't think it's happening. Teenie with what they showed of Teenie last night. Yeah.
I was so surprised by that. Like, yeah. When did this happen?
And what they showed of her last night, that was telling us she is not working with Sam. And with Andy, Sue's not working with Andy after this. She's not. She'd be pissed off. She was pissed at Kyle. How is she going to feel about Andy? So in my opinion, you get rid of Genevieve. Now, Andy and Sam, the only way they get to Final Four is to win immunity. Well, one of them could win immunity, but they can't both win immunity. And now you're down to Final Four with Teenie, Sue, Rachel, and one other person, whoever it is. Now he's got to beat him at Fire. And my thinking is, even after this move, even after this vote, with how brilliant this came out for Genevieve, Sam, and Andy, and how right now the jury might be saying, holy shit, we should probably vote for them to win if they're sitting there. I do believe that Rachel now can still take over the game. And no matter which one of those three she sits to next to at the end, if this goes the way that I am envisioning it going, she would beat them because she will have the bigger moves and people will be like, oh my God, you were drawing dead after Final Seven. And then you took control and you cut, boom, boom. You made that happen with your advantages, with the way you played the game. And look, maybe advantages are a little bit of a weakened concept on this season now that we just saw what people could do without advantages. But if you got to use the advantages, use what you can. It won't be as impressive as what Genevieve, Sam, and Andy just pulled, but it might be impressive enough to get you to win.
Do you think the five people on the jury right now are, oh my God, Andy, that was crazy? Like, Andy is the flipper. They say out loud, Andy flipped again. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a frustration sentence? Or do you think that's a, holy crap, like, Andy is playing extremely well? And, like, I'm wondering, well, does this make his chances go skyrocket? And then people start to like Andy gets a big head and then it's like, oh shit, you blew it.
Here's how I'll answer that, right? I think you have to look at it this way. If I'm wrong, and if these three people, let's say Genevieve, Sam, and Andy, they pull over Teenie, Rachel doesn't see it coming, Rachel blocks a vote, but they still put three votes and Rachel goes home with an idol in her pocket. We've seen it happen before. Rachel goes home with an idol in her pocket. And this is the final three right here. Yes, cross yourself and make sure it doesn't happen. But these three people all make it to the end. Do you believe that the jury will see this as Andy's move and thus vote for him over those other two? Because those other two also made this move. They had to convince Andy to do this. Andy was the one who did it, but they had to convince Andy. Would Genevieve and Sam be more revered than Andy sitting at that final three? I think the answer is yes.
I don't think I say this a week ago. I am so impressed with Genevieve.
Yeah.
And if Genevieve gets to the end, I think it would be a all-time, like, how did this person play this way so publicly, so ruthlessly, and make it to the end where it would be like, how can I not vote for her? Like, mm-hmm. like she's playing a game I could never dream of playing because I'm such an emotional player that, like, it almost seems like she didn't need any of us. She did everything on her own. She drove half of these votes. How are we not like, oh my God, like if Genevieve gets the end, like, and then Rachel's there too. But like Rachel, I think what's crazy is you're like, oh, Rachel still has it when we're saying three people that she's going to be up against made the best move in Survivor history is currently the name of the podcast. Like, that's how good of a game Rachel's playing.
Yeah.
Where if Rachel does get to the end of this and beat, like, she has to get rid of all three of them or she's going to fight one of them in the final tribal. If yeah. this all happens, like, the math is there of she either goes against Teenie and Sue and wins by 100, or she's going to have to fight for votes for someone from Operation Italy, which yeah. is a really cool showdown here. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, how. If Rachel wins against somebody from Operation Italy, we can't be like, oh, Rachel's game wasn't that strong. It's going to be like she beat someone who did one of the best moves in Survivor history, and it didn't matter. She still won the game. It'd be yeah. like, what? Which yeah. is what, like, seeing all of this stuff, we're getting a lot of Rachel's viewpoints on a lot of things. It seemed like, once again, I already said this, like, Rachel's the only one who's like, well, it could be a big plan. And everyone's like, no. So she's even getting those little, like, they didn't yeah. have to put that in.
She's the one who was sniffing it out, saying, hey, guys, this might not be, we shouldn't split. We should just dump all the votes. Right. Teenie was saying that, too, though. And then Teenie ended up being duped into splitting. Yeah, and then Teenie ended up being duped into splitting. So, yeah, I truly believe, like, this is just really, really unbelievable gameplay. And so to go into the question at, you know, posed at the beginning, is this the best game ever or best play ever? The plurality votes that Idled Out had put into his top five, the Borneo 4-1-1-1-1 vote. It's not really a great move. Nobody really knew what they were doing. It's just a funny moment. The Bob Dog going home 3-2-1-1, right? People forget that there were two plurality votes in Panama. We saw our first two plurality votes meaningfully.
Well, it was 26 years ago, basically.
I know. So we had the Bob Dog one. We had Marianne voting out Omer, which is great. But again, Marianne uses an extra vote. So there is an advantage played there. It's the only one of these plurality votes where an advantage was played. We have Tony's brilliant move to get rid of Sophie when he felt that Sophie was getting too close to Sarah in Winners at War. And he does a 4-3-2 vote.
That's the one that truly feels like this.
Yes.
And it's nine people instead of seven, and they're all winners. So I could see some thought process of, like, it's on par or just like that one.
And that's the one where, if you really think about it, that was also a game power changing move, right? Jeremy, Nick, Michelle, Tony, they all vote for Sophie. Sophie had an idol. Sophie was very close to Sarah. And after that moment, Tony is able to take control of the game and bring Sarah back onto his side to move forward. It's one of the best episodes of the show. It's just brilliantly executed. And then the other one is obviously the Sari 3-2-1. I would honestly put this above all of them, except for probably Tony's getting rid of Sophie. I think the stakes in that one were actually higher than this because there was so much built-in information about these other people that for Tony to still be able to pull that so that he could bring Sarah back onto his side and also position himself where there was no way Nick, Michelle, or Jeremy could beat him after that moment. I just think that's unbelievable.
I also think if the only person you're losing to is Tony, that's great company. Like, I think that, like, I do want to see Sam. I do want to see Genevieve. I would never say this a week ago. I do want to see Andy on that beach with 19 other people and going, I punched my ticket here because I went for broke and did something that nobody's ever done before. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to do it again.
Yeah.
And I would, like, I've had some favorites in the new era. I'd love to see those people play again. Were they better personalities? Were they better game players? Were they physical people? Were they like, oh, I just love their personality? Not a lot of game players were some of my favorites. Like, I haven't really connected with some of the people that go, oh, they're the best to never win of the new era. But this is a crew where I'm like, I love the idea of, you thought this was the worst case scenario to take on my trip overnight to go read some letters and eat spaghetti. Mm-hmm. But and you're talking so much smack about me. I'm obviously talking as Sam because he did have like this only works if Sam picks those two people. It legitimately does not work the other way. We would walk. Somebody would walk up while they were talking about Italy and hide in the bushes. And you said this is the dumbest move I could have made and my game is over. And now look at you a day later. Thank God it's day 24. Every single day from now on, or day 23 or something, like every day from now on, we're voting someone out. So yeah. this is the last free night ever. I think there's a lot of stuff that, like, if you don't pay attention to that level of it, that is probably in their mind of like, I can count days and I can count people. This is the last night of not voting someone out. Yeah. So we need a plan that gets us to final three now and we can execute the rest of the way. Who wants to fight me in the final three? We can bang, bang, bang the rest of these and go. And I think that's a layer of that.
That is a really good point because that was night 21. Night 22, Caroline goes home. 23, the sixth place person will go home. 24, the fifth place person will go home. And 25 will be the fire making challenge. So this was the last free night to pull this off. And you know what? Credit to Sam here. He saw something in Andy. And he knew how to play Andy when he said, you know, I want to work with you. I could see a future for us, Andy. Like, we have something here, you and me. I really respect what you're doing, and you deserve to be playing better. Like, Sam played this so well, whether it was sincere or not. It was played so unbelievably well. He saw something in Andy that he didn't see in Sue, in Teeny, in Rachel, or in Caroline. And it was something that he felt he could work with and manipulate with Genevieve. And him and Genevieve had probably had these conversations. When the other group of five is off doing their thing and Kyle, Genevieve, and Sam are sitting around, Sam and Genevieve are probably having conversations about who do you think would be the most likely to flip? It's Andy. It's probably Andy. It's Andy. Like, I could see them both thinking that because Andy did seem the most open to voting out Saul and Andy did seem the most open to doing anything with Genevieve. So I just think that Sam saw something and it really worked.
And like, I think this is fun of, are you paying attention to what other people are saying at Tribal Council? Some players face down in the sand, not paying attention to people around them. Are you paying attention to some people need more validation? Andy says out loud, nobody clapped when I cut the coconut. Mm-hmm. Andy needs somebody to connect with him and say, just like we said, I wasn't a very good friend and I wasn't a very good alliance member or whatever. My bad. I will feel bad about that. Would you like to go eat some spaghetti?
Yeah.
And you could be like somebody and going, that's not going to work on me. I already have another alliance. Or you could be like, okay, I can hear you out. Like, he straight up says, I did not expect to be called for this reward. I almost feel like I'm the last person that should go or whatever he says. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that's just something where Survivor is a game bot game. A lot, but this is a time where are you playing the numbers or are you playing the people that are attached to the numbers? And this works out because Teeny is seeing red and not paying attention. This works out because Sue is like, oh, I have an idol and I can use it if you need it. Caroline, we haven't got a lot from Caroline in the last 2 weeks of like, what's your thought process to get to the end? But if it was like, oh, there's this evil duo, one more of those people go home and I'm home free. I'm sure there's a confessional where she said that somewhere. It's interesting where those people are just like, oh, this is the easy vote. Mm-hmm. And then that's happened 57 times in Survivor history where the easy vote for one half, like, if you're willing to go above and beyond and do something nobody like this is what you can reap. I'm just trying to be like, we have not had a whole episode completely based on a strategy heist ever. at least in 15 years.
Probably the closest thing we ever had was Jesse explaining the blind side, where it was dedicated to him pulling the blind side in a strategic move.
Was that 20 minutes? Because this was like 85 minutes
of
like, here we go.
Yeah.
So I am wanting somebody from Team Italy to win. Was I thinking that the other, like, did I didn't think they were playing the best game. I think Rachel's playing the best game, but now, no, Team Italy, let's go, please.
Yeah. No, and like, Genevieve still has an uphill battle, but the way she has rolled over has been phenomenal. I mean, she said, I'll play possum, I'll play whatever you want. And she's done
giraffe?
It. Yeah, giraffe?
I don't even know what play giraffe means. Play your eyes?
And yeah, giraffe. Whoa, look at you. Did you pull that?
Real eyes, from eyes, real eyes.
Yeah, did you steal that from somebody too? No, yeah, I really do feel like Genevieve has done a phenomenal job of lowering her threat level, and that's huge. And I mean, the thing is, I didn't think it could be done because we haven't really seen anybody do it in the new era. The only one who did it was Gabler, but he did it so early on with that Ellie boot that it felt like people just forgot about it more than anything. Nobody's forgotten about Genevieve. Everybody,
I keep saying Ellie Gabler, right?
Ellie Gabler, yeah. But like Genevieve, this was probably like the time to get rid of her. And I'm not saying that I still think she could go sixth or fifth for sure. But if she goes home here in this episode, you sit there and say, okay, that's the ramifications of the Saul boot. But because
I want Genevieve to come back for 50.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Oh my God. And why do I want that? I didn't want that. Now I do. She's so cool.
Of course you do. And it's the fact that we have never seen a player. If Genevieve goes next week, it won't be because of the biggest mistake she made in the game. It will be because of the best move.
People think she can win.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Because Saul was a mistake, but this was not.
I think another layer, I'm just going to keep glazing this all day long. I can't make this move. I love Survivor. This is not something I could do. Mm-hmm. And that's so impressive. Can you lie? Like, I was watching it with my friend last night, and he was like, they're such a bad liar. How is Teeny going to believe this? And you're like, I guess they're all tired. I guess they're all hungry. Like, I actually think they're lying pretty well. But, like, the full-on three-prong attack, like you go first. I'm going to make this idol. I'll come back around. The explanation of it's a split second because somebody's going to walk up on us. We don't want Andy to see this. He's not with us. Don't show Andy my idol. Like, maybe it's that put an idol in my pocket that made Teeny think this is true. Like, it's literally like whenever we're saying a game of inches in football or whatever, this felt like a game of inch, like the most inch. Like, we got right under the door before the boulder crushed us in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop glazing. I just really enjoyed everything about it.
I think that's a really good example. I mean, this was, if the timing was any different, if one thing went wrong, I mean, Genevieve listed out everything that could go wrong. And you sat there as an audience and you said, okay, something's going to go wrong then. We've watched enough Survivor to know. But St. Cliffo brings up a good point here. Phil says zero confessional getters can't win. My belief is anyone getting every damn episode title can't lose. Look, he is now tied. He is now tied. Andy is
a lot of people said Operation Italy last night.
They did. But Andy is now tied for episode titles with Tony. And I think, I don't know if there's more people, but I know Russell is also in there. And I can tell you that Russell has never won Survivor.
Oh, shoot. Take that, St. Cliffo.
Yeah. So,
I do think, what are you thinking if you're Teeny last night? Of same question I kind of said of you're hitting the beach after this for Andy. Is Teeny done?
Yeah.
Is Teeny screwed? Yeah. How does Teeny get to final three with what happened?
I said last night that Teeny still had a chance to win because I think Sue is the one who is truly drawing dead. And I think that for Teeny to get the final three, depending on how Teeny could get the final three, based on this move last night, potentially there is something that Teeny could do. But she'd have to sit next to Andy, who nobody's respecting, and Sue. I don't see her beating Sam, Genevieve, or Rachel under any circumstances at all. Andy, she probably doesn't beat either, but maybe she gets a couple of extra votes in that situation. And maybe we have a plurality winner of a three, you know, or I guess it would be 4-2-2. But like, maybe we get that because maybe Sue does get Caroline's vote. Maybe maybe she's not Franny voting for Carolyn. You know what I mean? And so Franny didn't vote for Carolyn. That's the point. But so like, sad. But that's where like I'm coming from with this. Like, I don't really think Tini has a chance, because then as I was trying to think about it, like last night you're in the heat and it's like, no, she could still win in some, but then when you start to think about it, it's if Tini
the math goes, is not there, she has to get the three exact people gone.
Yeah. If Tini goes over to the side that just pulled this move, she now needs to make a move that is better than this move. Right. And if she sticks with Rachel, she can't beat Rachel. So what does she have to do? I almost feel like what Tini would have to do is Tini would have to be along for the ride as two of the other side go out. And then Tini would have to beat Rachel at Final Fire and get into Final Three against Andy and Sue. I think that's the only way she can win. But I feel like she is definitely feeling like she's drawing dead.
Tini could go to Edge of Exile and hang out with a jury for 6 weeks.
Have I ever told you that I think Edgic is stupid? Edgic had bumped Tini.
Edge of Extinction.
Edgic had bumped Tini up to first place favorite to win the game after last week.
Okay. This is now the meanest thing I will say about Tini, but not on purpose.
Uh-oh. Well, it sounds purposeful. You just set it up.
What is your favorite Tini move that she's made this year?
There isn't. She hasn't made one.
Why? How could she win?
No, exactly. But that's exactly it. I just told you how she could win. I just told you. Yeah. That's, I just
she'd have to start making moves at Final Six and people respect it. You're like, that's not going
to
happen.
Exactly. If she were to be the one who flips over to the other side and tricks Rachel into thinking she's safe, and Rachel only plays her block a vote, thinking that Tini's still on her side.
And then Tini
votes with the others and votes Rachel out of the game. And Rachel goes home here at six. And then Tini wins Fire over somebody. Potentially Tini could win the game, but probably not.
Whew. Okay. Yeah. Who do you hope wins?
Damn. Well, at this point, I want it to be Rachel because I've said it so many times. But Genevieve winning would be the most impressive win. I don't think there's a disappointing winner out of Andy Tini, Sue and Tini aren't going to win. That's my opinion at this point. So there's not a disappointing winner out of the other four.
Let's go ahead and say,
although I will be a little disappointed if Andy wins, because I did not see that coming at all. That's on me.
Andy winning would be the craziest story ever. Mm-hmm. Genevieve winning would be the most wow, what a completely new archetype of win. Mm-hmm. Rachel winning would be she has played a perfect new era game, mm-hmm. and that's what wins, and you can't falter.
Yep.
Sam winning would be like a snake or wolf in sheep's grass clothing that comes up at the right time. All of those are super interesting. Mm-hmm. And I do think it'll be like, how could we have an episode better than what we saw last night, when it's literally one of the top five episodes of the show, probably on the, if people care about the ratings, I don't go rate episodes ever, mm-hmm. but recency bias too. You got to have all the haters come in. You got to all have all the Big Brother haters be like, not this one. That's not even a thing that happens, but I just think, how could you be not excited for next week?
You have to be pumped going into the two-part finale. You absolutely have to be. You have to be super excited going into this final six. I'm so pumped because there are four people with a very legitimate chance to win this game.
Sue wins out of nowhere.
Sue wins would be pretty disappointing because Sue has not been a part of this stuff, but there's no way. I don't see Sue pulling it, obviously.
Okay. I think we were super pumped for Sue when we first started 18 weeks ago. When that cast came out, what do you think went wrong with Sue?
I don't think anything went wrong with Sue. Here's the truth. A lot of times older players, they start off strong and they kind of peter out as the game goes on. They get tired. They become less interesting from an editing perspective. If they're not going to win, they get overshadowed. Go watch Survivor Co. Wrong and tell me Joe Del Campo is not unbelievable in the pre-merge. And then once the merge hit, it's like, where did Joe go? Because Joe's just done. He's got nothing left. And obviously, we've seen people overcome that. We saw Bob overcome that. We saw Gabler overcome that. We have seen Janet Carbon overcame that. But at the same time, a lot of times, the older players, like 50 plus, they start off really strong. and then they start to fall off a little bit. And I think that Sue's story got less interesting. She became less a part of it. I think the game started moving too fast for her. And then on top of that, I think her confessional content, that fire that she had on day one, I think started to disappear a little bit, because I do think that she's absolutely done out there.
Okay. I think she lost wind whenever her alliance wasn't going to be dominant. Like, I think she lost whenever Saul gave Rachel the power to knock out Tiana.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think at the Tiana boot was when Sue said, oh, this game's not going the way I want. Now I have to adapt. And she couldn't adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only person I don't think we talked very hardcore about or had a segment about in our mind. Let's do the same thing for Sam.
Mm-hmm.
How does Sam get to the end, do you think?
Wins immunities. I think Genevieve will be the...
He crushed people in the reward challenge, right? It crushed him or not really?
He did. And I think that he will... I think the hierarchy there is Genevieve, Sam, Andy, in terms of importance of voting people out. And I could even see it being Genevieve, Andy, Sam after last night's episode. I don't think Sam is public enemy number one, which is the thing that's working best for him right now.
Which is crazy to go from, we need to break up Sam's pair immediately after Rome. We all hate Rome. Get Rome out of here. Bye, Rome. We hate you, Rome. Which was crazy that 13 people were like, yeah, we're all fine with that.
Yeah, you're talking about as a Survivor 47 player, not as our podcast.
No. Of course. And then I do think the only thing you could say negative about Rachel's game, if she gets to the end and wins, is she was dead to rights in a tribe swap that wasn't a tribe swap. And did she do the effort with Saul earlier to get that given to her? Then yes, her social game. But she has persevered through so much stuff. We're talking about Sam right now, but
you can't even do it.
I can't even do it. I think what's interesting about Sam is he is a threat, but he's not. But he's a threat, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, usually those dudes, like, I guess Kyle took a lot of heat off of him.
Yeah.
And the final six challenges that are coming up, there's, like, if some motion comes up or another ball, like Kinsey lost.
That was literally the one Ben won last season. Ben won. We're going to keep running back to the giant Plinko board, essentially.
Are we going
to
do a Plinko board? Like, I think Sam, how could Sam lose the final four ball throwing competition against his current competition?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think
he's a ball player. He's a glue guy, dude.
He's a glue guy. And I think what's interesting about Sam, and when you start to say, well, how does he get to the end? It feels like he should be screwed. I don't think we've ever had four legitimate threats at final six. I mean, like, legitimate threats. Like, every one of them actually has an argument. It's not, oh, well, this person could win in the right scenario. No, you could have Rachel, Genevieve, Sam, Andy sit next to each other in any combination, and they all have an argument to make of why they should win the game.
How many threats are on the jury right now of those five?
I think they're all threats.
So that's just great casting, baby.
It's great casting. No, it really worked out because nobody was ever able to really pull ahead. And then everybody who looked like they were drawing dead made a move. And that's why I seriously won't count Teeny out. I'm counting Sue out, but I'm not going to count Teeny out yet, because I do feel like there is that move next week. And we see Teeny on the beach talking about it, where it's, hey, she doesn't block a vote. There is that.
Teeny just chokes out Sam and that's her move?
That's the hey, I mean, that's the move. Sometimes that's what you got to do.
I know. If Teeny backstabbed Rachel and it was her vote is the one that was necessary and Rachel doesn't use any of her advantages, like, I think it's so much what if, but that's what happened last week. So maybe it's possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, and by last week, I mean literally less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, last night. It was, or not even 8 o'clock.
What's the shape of Italy?
It's a boot.
Boot out Caroline. Let's go, Operation Italy.
Dude, sometimes I really hate that I just wasted 49 minutes of my life so that you could make that joke, man.
You didn't enjoy that 49 minutes? Time you enjoy wasting is not wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Put that in your kitchen right now.
And when you put it in your kitchen, get a subscription of the the Survivor Specialist Patreon and send it to somebody that you watch Survivor with.
There you go. St. Cliffo says yeah. You're the best. Anyway, yeah, become a patron. Patreon.com/specialist. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you, everybody who did last night. We got a bunch of subscribers from last night's video. We killed it last night. That was a hell of an episode. Thank you, Survivor, for being good so that people come over here and watch our stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed this. What do you think? Who's got this? Who do you think the biggest target is over on that other side? Oh, I never even talked about my vote thing. I really got to talk about this vote thing real quick. This is really important. I need to say this first before we wrap this up.
You go for it, Phil. I'm done.
Here's the deal. And I want to make sure I address this. Last night is the prime example of why getting rid of votes is stupid. Why people losing votes is stupid. Because here at Final Seven, the players were allowed to play. There didn't need to be production interference where, oh, this person doesn't have a vote, so that evens things up and makes it better. No, we got to watch everybody out there play the game to the best of their ability, and we got to see an absolutely epic blindside because of it. If one person, any of those seven people, it does not matter who, if any of those seven people do not have a vote last night, this does not go down the way it did. Because if one of the four did not have a vote, they wouldn't have split the vote because the best they could have done is a 2-2-2. If one of the others didn't have a vote, then they could not have pulled this off. The best they could have forced was a tie and they would have lost. We do not need lost votes in Survivor. And I remember earlier in the season when it looked like it was going to be three of them and they played Jenga so that it would only be one. Will was like, well, it's only one person who lost it. And I said, it does make me feel a little sad that I'm at this point now in my Survivor watching career where I am saying, oh, thank God it was only one person that lost their vote. Well, guess what? Last night proves why even one person losing their vote is bad. We don't need to do arbitrary things to level up the playing field. Let the players play. Trust your cast. If you're going to cast players who are as good at this game as the people you've casted on season 47, if you have done that, then you do not need to do this stupid stuff. Let them play. Let them all keep their votes. And let's see what other unique scenarios we can get moving forward. Because last night's episode was the best maybe of the entire new era. And there wasn't a single vote that wasn't in play. That's it. I had to make sure.
Do you think the same thing, take out the word vote and put in the word shot in the dark?
I don't think anybody would have played their shot in the dark last night.
Okay.
Yep. I don't think anybody would play. I think the shot in the dark would have been a move.
Jeff, you can keep shots in the dark. You can't stop taking people's votes away, please.
Yeah.
Don't. And we're not going to be saying please next season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Blake held a finger gun to me because I said cast it. So who knows what else will happen. Yeah. All right, everybody. That's it. That really is it. I got to go watch the Lions and the Packers. So let's go. Shoot. I had the hat just sitting there. That wasn't even on purpose, but somebody said it over there. So here I am. All right, everybody. See you later.
I'd be lying if I didn't say last night was so good.
God. All right. I let that finish. I let you get that whole sentence in. You're welcome.